burst your imagination.
Welcome to The Week in Links, the show so incredibly efficient that we bring you through each day of the week in only 1 hour. We're so glad that you've joined us. I'm Andrea Miller, and this week my co-presenter is Charlie Antrobus. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, and unlike the report on MPs' expenses, we're not going to black out anything. I'm going to tell you everything that's coming up in the show in full. But we can't start this week until we play the Monday jingle. Hooray, it's officially Monday. I can't stand Mondays.
Wait, what?
Enough said for Mondays. Next. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you change with every new day? Still, I'm gonna miss you.
Welcome back to The Week in Links. Apparently, Charlie has mastered time travel as he's skipped us ahead to Tuesday. Before he rushes straight through to the end of the week, you should know a little bit more about what's coming up. I got to have a chat with comedian, panel show frequenter, and ukulele enthusiast Phil Jupitus. Don't laugh at me, Charlie. And we have the exciting conclusion to our two-parter of the comedy panel show, Ooh, Have I Burst a Nerve? And then we're kicking you out, Charlie, aren't we?
Indeed, I'm cycling to Glastonbury. And as it's Tuesday, we all know that it's cheap night at the theatre, and Jenny Aldrich brings us another West End review. This time it's the puppet-laden hit Warhorse.
He's quite a horse, Albert, but for now his place is with the army.
Oi! Albert Narcott do solemnly swear that we shall be together again.
Phoebe arrives, a gleam in her eyes, and the year turns round again. And like Barleycorn, who rose from the grain, new year will rise up again.
Hello and welcome once again to the West End Review. This week we're talking about Warhorse, first seen at the National Theatre in 2007 and fast becoming the new must-see play in the New London Theatre. The play is based on the novel by former Children's Laureate Michael Mapurgo and adapted by Nick Stafford. It inevitably abandons the horse-eye view that characterises the novel, but nonetheless tells the charming story of an adolescent boy's pursuit of his beloved horse Joey across the World War I battlefields. Joey is sold into cavalry, shipped off to France to serve on the British side, and then gets captured by the Germans before ending up wounded and wandering in no man's land. The young hero, Albert, played by Kit Harington, enlists at the age of 16 with the sole purpose of finding his equine friend. The stage adaptation powerfully portrays the mysterious relationship between humans and animals, whilst at the same time capturing the dreadful waste and terror of the First World War. However, the real appeal of the show comes from the astounding creations from the Handspring Puppet Company. The horses, made from bamboo frames and translucent fabric skins, unfortunately upstage the human cast entirely. This is a show that's more like a Victorian spectacle than a modern play, with superb puppets and terrifying war scenes. Also, the plot can become a little confusing at times, and it's not always clear where we are meant to be and which of the characters we are supposed to dislike. Saying that, the heartfelt songs and hymns and glorious onstage displays make this a great play to see, despite the fact that the story is a little overshadowed. Join us next week and we'll be talking about the smash hit Billy Elliot.
burst your imagination.
And it's hump day, so let's make love and listen to Death from Above with a swine flu update.
Burst Live News.
Good afternoon, I'm Jenny Aldridge and you're listening to Burst Live News Swine Flu Update. Following the first death of a British woman from swine flu, the government is offering a reward if man-bird-pig is captured. The Mexican creature, who has the talons and wings of a bird, torso of a man and head of a swine, may provide vital information in the search for a cure to the virus. We went to Mexico to find out more about man-bird-pig. Man-bird-pig, a native to the Sierra Madre Mountains, is also known by locals as the swine from above, the winged abomination, or simply as Pedro. According to local legend, Pedro was spawned after the great drought of 1978, when local farmer Miguel Gonzalez was lusting after his prize sheep Esmeralda. However, Esmeralda spurned his advances, so Miguel wooed both his hen and sow in an effort to make her envious. Miguel is said to have eventually won Esmeralda's affections and abandoned his two former lovers, who in turn found solace in one another. 5 weeks later, Pedro was hatched. Due to international interest in the beast, the village of Born Mojito is now overrun with people trying to find Pedro Gonzalez. We spoke to one local woman, Andrea Melita, who recently saw the man-bird pig.
I saw the man-bird pig. He took my sheep, that swine from above. If Miguel Gonzalez had just kept it in his pants, our sheep would be safe.
Despite government efforts, man-bird-pig remains elusive and scientists are still struggling to find a more effective cure. That's all from Burst Live News for now. Join us again for more wholly inaccurate information.
Burst Live News.
I wake up in the morning, check the calendar. Find out it's a day I simply can't afford. Don't know what they were thinking in the days of yore, to name a weekday after the Norse god Thor. Oh, it's Thursday, bloody Thursday. I never quite got the hang of Thursday.
Welcome back to the Week in Links. It's Thursday. Did you miss us? Oh, the silent treatment, hey?
Later on in the show, as I've already said, I got to chat with Phil Jupitus, Jenny Sings Badly, and don't forget to tune in at 1 o'clock for our sister show, The Third Ear.
Who needs a third ear? It would look weird having a third ear, I think.
Maybe they have supersonic hearing? I don't know. Hopefully, on The Third Ear, whether it's grown or not, Sarah's done well with her technology detox.
Hopefully she has found a new way to grow a third ear.
Seems unlikely, Charlie. Now, if we follow the poem Monday's Child, Thursday's Child has far to go, which seems like a good time to talk about transportation.
Yeah, it's a good thing to get moving on from that link to this link. Getting from A to B is important, but sometimes they fail.
That's right. A few weeks ago, we all know that in London there was a tube strike and thousands of people
Indeed.
Were stranded.
And BA might go on strike soon too. So it is important to have alternative forms of transport.
Exactly. So considering how unreliable so much transportation can be, we at The Week in Links present some alternative ways to get around.
The Week in Links, an impractical guide to alternative transportation. The recent tube strike in London may have you worried about how to get from point A to point B, because we all know that things happen. Leaves on the track happen, snow happens, and, as hard as it may be to believe, an army of rats overtaking the Piccadilly line happened in 1986. When the unbelievable happens, you need a plan B. These unproven methods can help you travel quickly, efficiently, and excitingly. regardless of external factors. 1. Cannons. Just crawl in, aim, and have someone light the fuse. Warning, not to be attempted on windy days. 2. Befriend a magical flying creature. Try the flying dog from the Neverending Story, or maybe a Pegasus. Failing that, perhaps you could woo the mystical Harrison Ford or John Travolta in their magical flying machines. Note: always have fairy dust, gold chocolate coins, or a packet of cheese and onion crisps to reward your steeds for a job well done. 3. Crowd surfing. Jump on and enjoy. 4. Cloud hopping. This is a technique best employed by those who live in large apartment blocks, as it is quite difficult to obtain sufficient altitude. But did you know that on a cloudy day, if you go out onto your roof, you can step onto the top of clouds and walk to work? If you're a little farther away, you can purchase the Stairway to Heaven cloud boots for a mere $199.99. Disclaimer, Cloud Boot has not been approved by the Health and Safety Executive or any other administrative government body. No guarantees are being made on the safety, practicality, or non-explosive reaction to raindrops of Cloud Boots. Any injury or migraines suffered as a result of using Cloud Boots are expressly the fault of the user, and Very Poor Productions is not liable. No refunds. 5. Piggyback. It's a wonder mankind ever invented the wheel with the success of this much-loved technique of three-year-olds around the world. And if you ask your 76-year-old father nicely, it can still work for you. If you apply just one of these techniques every day of the week, you will arrive faster, fitter, and wealthier than ever before. Happy travels.
Well, those were lots of very good ideas. I think I'd rather be shot out of a cannon than do the cycle trip to Glastonbury I'm about to do, Andrea.
I think it would be a bit faster, Charlie, but it may be a little more painful probably, in the end.
Probably right. One form of transport you don't generally think about, however, Andrea, is travelling by hot air balloon. And the other day, me and you, Andrea, yeah, went to the Bournemouth Eye.
That's right, Charlie, because apparently we're saying each other's names quite a lot now. It was... I've got to say I was a little apprehensive when we first went in because I'm a bit afraid of heights.
Well, I was really looking forward to it. I thought it was fine, but as soon as we took off, I had to hold on to the hand grab rail, and I really hated it for the first duration of the start of the journey.
Whereas it was the other way around with me. But then once we were up there, the view sort of...
Yeah, you've got good things to see, didn't you? What did you see? What did you like?
Well, it made me forget that I was afraid of heights. You can see all along the coast, you see the Isle of Wight, and it's just this dramatic sweep of the Bournemouth Pier all the way up to Poole Harbour. So it was quite breathtaking, actually.
And you can see that cathedral...
Salisbury Cathedral on a clear day with binoculars.
And also, if you have binoculars, you can zoom in on Studland Beach and see the nude sunbathers.
Oh, you didn't point that out to me.
I was enjoying it. But I think it's well worth going up.
Both for the natural beauty and the naturalists. But now, we've been transported, see the clever link I did, to Friday.
Friday's child, hard luck is her brother.
Friday's child.
Friday's child, her sister's misery, oh. Friday's child.
We did it. It's the end of the working week. Time to cast aside the ties, loosen your trousers, let your hair down and be daft.
Yeah, I think I'm going to experiment with drugs while listening to daft music.
Don't mock my accent, Charlie.
I'm not mocking your accent. My gran said daft like that. She doesn't anymore. She's dead.
Well, on that cheerful note, Jenny and I actually had a go at doing some daft music. Caution, it is a bit rubbish. Well, Jenny's a bit rubbish.
The music you just heard was played by a group known as the Masters of the Kazooniverse.
You may see them around the various summer festivals this year, and they've become somewhat notorious among the muddy revelers that frequent such events.
And they've got us thinking, pretty much anyone can be a famous musician, and you don't even need a record deal.
The internet can give us all our 15 minutes of fame, but some people, such as Julia Nunes, Marie Digby, and David Choi, have all picked up fans, gigs, and even record deals after uploading themselves singing well-known songs in their unique way on YouTube.
So we thought we'd give it a go too. Andrea's learned how to play the ukulele, and we spent minute after minute practicing our song, taken from that well-known film, The Jerk.
So here it is. If you think you can do better, and you probably can, especially better than Jenny. I love you, Jenny. Feel free to send us your own melodies to theweekinlinks at googlemail.co.uk, and we can all be the next...
The next Kazooniverse... of the universe.
Yeah, but no one knows their name.
I know. And we can all have our shot at being the next David Choi. What?
Who's David Choi?
I've heard it. He was just in the earlier part of the link.
Oh, right, yeah, obviously.
Play the song.
Way down by the stream, how sweet it would seem. Once more, just to dream in the moonlight. My honey, I know, with the dawn that you will be gone. But tonight, you belong to me, just a little old me.
Record deal, please.
You're listening to Burst, Bournemouth's internet radio station.
I think I'd rather die than listen to that again. Oh no, Andrew's off again. She's playing live in the studio. You're such a ukuleleist. I'm a bit of a pacifist. Why don't you just stop shoving your ukulele in everyone's eardrums?
You can mock me and judge me, Charlie, but I've actually become a bit of an inspiration to people with my ukulele playing.
Really? Have you?
Well, more of an inspiration to my friend Dave to buy a ukulele, but uh-huh. I think that counts. The funny thing is, when I was debating whether or not to even buy a ukulele, my brother Nathan told me, do it! That way if you ever meet Phil Jupitus, you'll have something to talk about. As Phil plays the ukulele in his podcast, Phil and Phil the Perfect Ten. It's not the main reason I ended up buying it, but I regretfully have something to say. Pay attention, Nathan, because you know I don't say it often. You were right.
Yep, you were.
Because off the back of my brief stint on the ukulele, I somehow ended up being able to have a brief chat on the phone with Phil Jupitus, where I asked him about his love of this delightful instrument.
The ukulele and me. The reason I got involved with the ukulele was I'm a self-taught guitar player, and I was on tour with the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, who were a very big British band in the 1960s, who split up acrimoniously in 1968 and decided to get back together so they could split up again 40 years later. But they did a kind of a 40th anniversary UK tour. And while we were on the tour, there was a number that they did in the set, which is called Jazz, Delicious, Cold, Disgusting, Hot, which is off of an album they did called Gorilla. And it's just a very, very rubbishy instrumental traditional jazz track, and it was one of my favorite instrumentals of all time, and I wanted to play on it, and the only thing that they could find that I could play was the ukulele. And so basically Mickey Simmons, who was their musical director, lent me a ukulele, which I played for the first couple of nights, which was a lot of fun to do, because you just really hammer away at the thing and hopefully the right chords accidentally come out. And then when we got to Newcastle, they found a music shop that had a lot of nicer ukuleles in it. And Ade Edmondson bought one, which he subsequently gave me, which is a proper instrument rather than one of these sort of little fun ones you can get. Having said that, the little fun ones, quite often you get a better sound out of. So I ended up with quite a nice ukulele out of the whole deal, which I bang around on and practice with whenever the mood takes me. It's good to kind of have one in the house. They're a very easy to lark around with instrument. You don't have to be that proficient. You can kind of be a living room Ramones with a ukulele. Mm. It's a very accessible instrument. You know, if you go online, if you use the standard tuning, which I can't even remember what it is, but if you use the standard da-da-da-da mm-hmm. tuning...
My darkness, please.
My dog has fleas. There we go. If you use that, then the cords are really, really easy to grasp. You can go online and get them. But I find it's more fun to try and sort of work things out for yourself. And they've got some quite complicated chords. I worked out how to play Design for Life by the Manic Street Preachers. And the weird thing is quite often the more complicated the song, the better it works on the ukulele. There's an odd kind of...
Yeah, it's like the hard chords are easy and the easy chords are maybe a little harder, I find.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The thing is because it's such a small instrument, the scales are all over the place. I mean, there are properly prescribed chords that you can use for things, but it's actually more fun quite often to just work your way through until you find what's approximate, what's close, you know. And so that's what I did with Design for Life, and it's actually not too shabby a version.
And I hear that you're actually taking part in a world record attempt this weekend?
Yes. I mean, yeah, there's a, of course, with all things, you know, it wouldn't be a musical instrument if someone didn't try and organise some kind of world record attempt around it. And yes, tomorrow, as I speak to you, on Saturday, there is going to be an attempt to have the largest ever ukulele band playing Sloop John B, the old Beach Boys tune. Well, in fact, no, it's actually a traditional folk tune, isn't it?
How many people?
They are looking for 1,000. Last time I checked the total online, they had, I think, something like 823. So they're about 200 off a target. So the thing is, I'm on Twitter, and I've just asked everybody I know to let all their friends know that this thing is happening. And we're desperately trying to get together the last couple of hundred, really, just so it's 1,000 ukuleles. To be part of 1,000 ukulele band. What a fine way to spend a Saturday.
I can't think of a better way. With 1,000 people, how are you all going to warm up together this Saturday?
I don't know. I kept thinking about this, and it might be. You don't want to drift in with too keen a group. I quite like the slacker ukulele people. If I can find a little knot of people that are just there for a laugh, it's if I find people that have got banners and that are wearing Hawaiian shirts and skirts and things, I will be steering away from them. I will be looking for the anti-ukulele people, the kind of who's just there because it's a laugh. You know, Frank Skinner's playing. I did let Colin Murray, the Radio 1 DJ, know because he's a very keen strummer. He once played It's Not Unusual on the ukulele and had Tom Jones singing.
Oh, fantastic.
So he's a very, very keen strummer of the ukulele. And, of course, taking it to a wider audience on Radio 1, so bless him for that.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for sparing a little bit of time for me.
You are very welcome.
You're listening to Burst, available online or online.
Hello, welcome back to The Week in Links. I'd like to give a big thanks once again to Phil Jupitus for letting me talk to him. Although the ukulele festival he was talking about didn't quite manage the 1,000 attendees, they still did manage to break the world record.
They registered about 835 of Phil's friends, and they broke the world record at Devonshire Square in central London, and it was brought alive with people dressed in Hawaiian shirts in true Beach Boys style, and there were people of all ages brandishing a wide range of ukuleles.
We sent one of our tutors, actually, Joe Tyler, down to cover the event and find out what brought people to worship at the altar of the uke.
And I guess, plus, we wanted to see if she could do more than just teach radio and actually make some radio.
I'm here at the London Ukulele Festival with 1, 2, 3, 4 young people. And where are you from?
John Stainer.
Cool. How did you find out about what was happening today?
Well, we were going to the ukulele club and then at school. So my teacher told me about it. That's the way I found out.
Oh, how long have you been playing for, girls?
Well, we've been playing since probably January or before. We've learned quite a few songs now. We've been learning this song a lot as well.
And what do you like about the ukulele?
I think the ukuleles are good because they're small, they're easy to carry, and they're a lot of fun to play.
How many people do you think are here?
2,000.
3,000.
4,000. 225.
My name's Tim Spears. I've come down from Sheffield today.
That's a long way, Tim. Why have you come here specifically?
Ooh, I'm kind of a bit of a ukulele obsessive, so a good opportunity to play with other players and try and beat that record.
Excellent. And your ukulele, I have to say, is rather fine, silver number. Can you tell me what's special about this ukulele?
This is a Beltona Resonator ukulele. It's very nice. It is a bit of an interesting ukulele because it used to belong to Tiny Tim. Bought it off a guy in the States who I think got it from his wife. You can never have too many ukuleles, you know. And, you know, they've all got slightly different voices and they've got a different feel, so...
I see that one's got a little bit of a dent there. It was like a little ukulele accident.
Well, not for me, but it was for Tiny Tim. He did fall off the front of the stage and land on this particular ukulele.
I don't know how many people. Do you have any idea how many people?
850-something. But it sounded okay with 800 people strumming at once.
How long have you been playing the ukulele?
Since Christmas.
What do you like about it?
Oh, it's quite easy to learn. And, you progress fast and it's great sounding.
It's just great fun. Like, with the guitar, it takes ages to start playing. You can sit in bed and play it. That's
my favorite. Friends take you seriously, though, when you get a ukulele out and start playing?
Not really. We kind of keep it secret.
I was kind of inspired by how easy it was to play and how portable it was. Those were the two things that I loved about it. But I'm slightly put off by... the bow tie, the braces, the funny hat, and a comedy song. I don't like that about it. I think it's a lovely instrument, and it's not just a comedy.
All right, I'm going to ask you one question, okay? Are we going to break the world record today? Yeah!
I've really enjoyed today. I'm not a full-on ukulele aficionado, I have to say. Also, I appreciate the fact that it's a bit trendy. It's a bit like, oh, it's a bit trendy at the moment. But, you know, because of the round ears, it's quite difficult to play it. Play it well. It's a bit hard to be unhappy with the ukulele.
I feel so broken. I want to go home.
Thanks again to Jo Tyler for shirking her tutor's duties to be our roving reporter today. If you liked what you've heard, more audio from the Ukulele Festival will also be up on our website, which of course is burst.co.uk, later on in the week.
Shh. Burst Live. No music at all. Not even a little bit. Okay, maybe a bit. Shh. But not so you'd notice.
On a Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. I got some money, cause I just got faith. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
This is The Week in Links. Welcome back. I'm Charlie Antrobus.
I'm Andrea Miller.
So welcome back, kiddies and cadavers. Oh no, I'm talking about death again.
Yeah, you have managed to talk about it in almost every single link now. I'm still thinking about your gran. But I know one thing that you love more than talking about death is your bicycle.
Yes, I love it. I love the way it gives you freedom off the roads. You can cycle around. It's good for my pocket. It doesn't cost that much. And it's good for the planet. As you know, I'm cycling to Glastonbury afterwards. And Bournemouth is quite nice.
That's right. What do you think about cycling within Bournemouth?
Well, it's quite nice because, you know, you are out of a major city and it does have quite good lanes. But it would be nice if they could connect some of the cycle networks up, especially down in the square. Or in particular, I would love to be able to cycle along the Prom all year round. I kind of think they should get rid of the beach huts.
Yeah, it's not actually possible, is it?
What?
To cycle all year round.
No, it's not. But because of this, I decided to go down to Promenade and find out some more about the situation.
Last Saturday was a nice sunny day, so I went for a ride. But the beach hut owners were just giving me evil looks, even to responsible cyclists like me. They think they own the place, with their buckets, barbecues and inflatable boats spewing across the promenade. A clear prom would enable the majority to walk, cycle, skate or wheelchair, freely enjoying the scenery and fresh air, free from the stench of their Waitrose-brought barbecue meats. It would be better for everyone's health, instead of benefiting a minority of people sitting smug in their habitat-brought chair outside their hand-me-down, can't-even-stay-in-it-overnight hut. So that was what I thought after our cycling along the prom, and as a result, I decided to look into the matter in Conflicts on the Promenade. So I headed down to Bournemouth Beach, which attracts 100,000 people. There I asked Chris Saunders, seafront manager for Bournemouth Borough Council, how many huts there are.
1,850 beach huts, of which 550 actually are the council's, and lets out casually or annually and maintains, and the rest are where the council rents the site and the individual owns the hut. was quite a big, it's quite a big business. Turnover of just under £6 million a year. There's about 30 full-time staff, 120 seasonal staff.
The beach huts generate approximately £1 million a year. Therefore, there are no plans to remove the beach huts.
It's very busy here. Because there's so many people here, it's very tricky to cycle, skateboard, rollerblade, or go along your mobility scooter or wheelchair.
I don't think you should have the bikes in the summer.
Everyone generally is very good and sticks to the 10 mile an hour speed limit.
I don't think they should be allowed, you know, in a busy period like this to cycle down, maybe, you know, in the morning or the evenings, but not when it's busy like this. You know, there may be like a certain period that they shouldn't be allowed to cycle down.
I think maybe they should have it set out so that you can cycle on one side of the prom. It should be laid out so that people have the walkway on one side and the cyclists on the other.
It's about sort of trying to build things to all people, I suppose, and it's about trying to manage it with some sensitivity, but also trying to sort of maximise the commercial aspect for the council as well.
So the commercial aspect of the conflict is the key point. The huge demand for beach huts generates a large income, which helps pay for the running of the beach. Therefore, these beach huts do benefit everyone. Most activities are restricted in some place or at some time, such as smoking, barbecues, dogs, cycling, and new sunbathing. You have to go to Studland for that. Even beach hut owners are restricted on how far they can spread into the prom. However, I get the feeling the council is not that interested in enforcing it. And, in fact, you can cycle all year round between the piers and along the clifftops, all before 10 a.m. and after 6 p.m. on the prom.
We really want to encourage this as a safe cycling route, but at the same time, that you know, pedestrians have priority. So we've still got this minority of idiots cyclists who are pelting along the promenade, and the last thing I want or anybody wants is another child in hospital or to take that phone call. It's pretty harrowing. You know, we ask cyclists to control their speed. We've got a sort of a limit of 10 miles an hour.
So there we go. We'll all have to get along and be considerate of each other. Beach, it pays for everyone else, huts are good. That's Charlie Antrobus reporting on the conflict on the promenade. Sunday morning rain is falling.
Steal some cover, share some skin. Hello and welcome back to the Week in Links. Believe it or not, we've made it to the end of the week. Are you tired? Really? What have you done today? Listen to the radio? Are you playing video games while you're listening to this? Maybe had a cup of tea? I wasn't even allowed to have any tea today because dairy is banned before presenting because it makes me all phlegmy.
Settle down, Andrew. You could have had herbal tea or something like that instead.
It's just not the same.
No, I guess not. Well, as Andrew recovers from her little rage, it's time for our conclusion of last week's episode to our comedy panel game, Ooh, Have I Burst a Nerve? On the panel tonight are Simon Jay, Dickie Murray, Ben Nardoni and Aaron Ferguson. And your host is, as ever, Jojo Barton. So sit back, relax and enjoy some of this comedy in this exciting conclusion to the last week's episode of Who Have I Burst a Nerve?
And remember, this is actually only the highlights, and for the full version you can go to our website at burst.co.uk.
And welcome back to Ooh, Have I Burst a Nerve? The radio spin-off of Ooh, Have I Touched a Nerve? Nerve TV's most popular comedy panel show. Last week saw us all getting teary-eyed about the past, but this week we're seizing today and concentrating on the present. And joining Simon Jay at this very moment is a comedy actor who provides all of the squeaky voices for the multifarious spectacle of surrogate ideas. Please welcome Ben Nardoni.
Lies, it's all lies. Don't listen to him.
And with Aaron Ferguson, it's his very own comedy partner from back home. Please welcome Dickie Murray.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the show. Now, before we get started, I'd like each panel to come up with a team name and write it down on the paper provided. Simon, shall we start with you?
Yes, well, Ben, what did we decide before in the little interim when we were when we were time-travelling for a week?
I don't know, Simon. What was that?
I don't know. I'm thinking because we seem quite... We are often mistaken for brothers, occasionally twins or lovers. We were coming up with the Cramp Twins, weren't we?
Yes. Yeah,
the Cramp Twins.
The Cramp Twins. Okay, thank you. Aaron, have you guys decided on a team name?
Indeed, we have. We've settled on Not the Adventures of Mole Man.
Not the Adventures of Mole Man. Okay, that's great. Thank you, guys. Now, as much as we can enjoy the present, the future must inevitably arrive, and some of our futures are looking worse than others. Obviously, I'm talking about the team captains, who will have to carry out a forfeit at the end of the show in the inevitable event that one of them loses. Simon, would you like to remind us all what Aaron's forfeit will be?
Of course, because there is at least a 50% chance that I will win. And that is that Aaron has to read out some gratuitously, filthily written genetic affairs by Patrick Morley.
Yes, OK. And Aaron?
I have here, once again getting out, but no one can see it, a contract obliging Simon to vote Conservative in the next election.
OK, fantastic. So remember, all the points earned from last week have been saved up for this episode. Currently, Not the Adventures of Mole Man have 1,800 points, and Cramp Twins have 1,600 points. So, without further ado, let's start the show. And now we get started with round one, otherwise known as Hot Biatch, in which I will name a celebrity and you will need to tell me what they've been in the news recently for. Okay, so just make some noise or talk when you think you know the answer. The first celebrity is Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, he did something naughty, didn't he? I don't know what it was.
Make a noise. Oh, no, with this.
With something. Sorry.
No. Oh, wait, I know.
Yeah, I've had some wine.
We've made noise.
That should get points. Noise. She said points for funny answers.
Sorry, yeah, it's true. You get points for that. That was so funny. Carry on. Yeah, what do you think it was?
Did he eat a puffin?
Got it. No.
Oh, damn it.
I genuinely thought we had it. If you give up, I can
tell
you.
No, I haven't given up. No, we're staying until it's done.
Well, no, la, 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 la. Gordon Ramsay showed a nude woman with a pig's face and likened it to a TV personality. The TV personality, Grimshaw.
Nick Grimshaw?
It just says Grimshaw.
Oh.
The next person who's caused a stir in Bournemouth, Reverend and the Makers. And why have they caused a stir in Bournemouth?
Was it... No, go on, it's fine. I'm going to lose anything.
They performed at the Summer Ball, didn't they? I assume they were bad or not good enough to waste £35 to go and see something.
Yeah, you're very, very almost there. That's pretty close.
A point then, maybe?
Can you tighten it up a bit?
Don't be disgusting.
Comes naturally.
Who was it? Reverend and the what?
And the Makers.
I've never heard of them.
They're revived today.
But all I know about the Students' Union is that they are hypocrites, I'm afraid, because
200 points.
Thank you. I, as a long-standing member of this university, 9 months in total, and all the wonderful giving I've provided... The society that I set up, the Multivariate Spectrum of Surrogate Ideas, or Alternative Review Society, enjoyed its very first end-of-year review in this very lecture theatre.
Who directed it, Simon?
I think it was Aaron Barney, Robin Jacob Ferguson, but you'd have to quote me on that.
That'd be me. Back.
And, yes, and it enjoyed moderate success. And, but, the... I'm wrapping up, don't worry. The head of communications, Mr. John Bomer, also expressed his congratulations. What he neglected to tell me, and in fact didn't tell me, is that one of the posters received 3 complaints. And the only reason for this was being is one use of the word rape. Now, I justify my actions because the word rape can refer to violation of any kind, and that was the context that it was used in. And also that there is a rape sketch in the spectacle. This passed with no judgment, and I was hauled into the office and giving a sort of a childlike telling off. So I'll leave you all to make your own minds up and whether the sort of tabloid nature of the Students' Union and the way they deal with some of their members. Thank you. Good night.
So we're Reverend of the Maker's shit or something?
Yes!
Nailed it.
I was expecting to hear a question about, like, Jordan's split up or something. That's about all
that
I know.
That was my
about.
Next one, actually.
Point for me.
Can we have points?
Sai got it right.
Sai kick.
Sai kick, yeah.
Hello and welcome to...
Does... Aren't you?
Yes, indeed.
What predictions can you make for the next year?
Well, I have...
Is there any way you could predict when Easter's coming? Because I genuinely never know. It just creeps up out of nowhere.
So, well, they change it every time, and it's really unfair on psychics because it really screws with your head, and it just isn't fair.
So at the end of that round, the cramped twins have got 2,400 points, and Not the Adventures of Mole Man have 2,700 points.
Celebrate quietly.
We move swiftly on to round two, otherwise known as the Storyteller, in which we will put our team's storytelling skills to the test. I'm going to give each panellist a series of random words and ask them to create a story using those words. We'll pick them out beforehand, and the buzzer will signal you to move on to the next word. The points go to the best and funniest stories, and again, just because we're on the radio, we're going to ask them to do it without repetition, deviation, hesitation, etc. OK, Simon, here yes. are your words. Do you like to pass those over? What words have you got, Simon?
My words are cocaine, punch, invasion, and dump. There we are.
OK, when you're ready.
OK. Right, okay. I was having lunch at the Garrick Club last week, and who should walk in but the leader of the opposition, David Cameron? He walked up to me and whispered into my ear, "I know who you are." He doesn't talk like that, but I can't do the voice. And then he said, "Why don't you come into the bathroom with me?" Oh, I didn't even mention cocaine. And then we went into the bathroom together, and I thought, hello, ooh, a bit dodgy here, you know. But it's very nice and, you know, clean. So, and then he had some punch snuck in, a little flask. And then there was an invasion of these odd, spotty green creatures that came through the window and they gobbled up David Cameron. And all they left was a pair of very horrible brown brogues. And then I had a dump.
Fantastic. That was quite interesting. I've got a very vivid imagination. I'll have nightmares tonight.
Was it a good dump, Simon?
So, Dickie, I'd like to read out your words and begin when you're ready.
Is that even a word? I've got playground, signs, hitchhike, and Swansea. Okay. When I was six... I was at school and it was playtime, so we all went into the playground and we were playing kickabouts with some squirrels. And the squirrel said, "Hey, come on now, that's just not funny anymore. I mean, it was cool for the first 5 minutes. But you know, now I'm showing signs of anal leakage because you've kicked me so damn hard all the time." So I said, "Well, that's fair enough. Why don't we hit the road, ditch school and all that?" And so we did, and we were walking down the road, and I guess we were hitchhiking, and a car was going along, and we said, "Hey, do you want it?" "Nope, okay." And he passed us, and then a truck passed us, and then a van passed us, and then finally we hitchhiked the car, and he took us to Swansea, and we were in the car, and the squirrel said, "Hey, do you want to hear the most annoying noise in the world?" And I said, "Yeah, sure," and he said... And then we were at Swansea, and it was good. And that's how the story ends.
Thank you very much, Dickie. Thank you. And at the end of that round, Cramp Twins have 3,200 points, and Not the Adventures of Mole Man have 3,500 points.
I'd just like to say it's very interesting how they always have more points than us.
300 more.
300, exactly.
To be precise.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Great. Coincidence.
Which brings us to round three, affectionately known as karaoke cock-ups. But I will ask each panellist to sing me a little song. Sounds pretty straightforward, except that in true radio fashion, we're going to ask them to sing the lyrics to the tune of another song. That's right, it's not entirely original game. Our panellists will have to sing the lyrics to one song whilst holding the tune of another and combining them successfully. Okay, Benji, I believe it's your turn first. You're doing A Whole New World to the tune of Eye of the Tiger.
How does the tune go? Shall I wait for the actual singing bit or just sing now?
Yeah! Everybody! This is... Oh, okay. Whoa.
Well, just okay. Begin when you want.
Ready, ready.
Oh, really? Okay, point.
I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now, when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take your... This is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, okay.
That's beautiful.
I've lost where I am now. Hold on. Right, here we go. Okay. On a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming. It's a whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you.
In a whole new world with you.
Right, well, before we carry on, we're actually going to lose, but look at that song.
Okay, well done, guys. That was very enjoyable. So the scores at the end of that round are... Cramped wins with 3,800 points.
4,100.
And Not the Adventures of Mole Man have 4,000 points.
Oh, it's not rigged because I changed it 100.
And we end with the quick fire round. Well, I will ask our teams a series of questions against the clock. This is your last chance to make up for all the points you're lacking in. All questions are related to the past. So sound your buzzers when you think you know the answer, but failure to give the answer right away will result in the question being passed over to the other team. But please remember, make a sound and I'll point at whoever answers. Otherwise, it will just be too
rigged.
You have 2 minutes. Your time starts now! Which famous TV chef has pissed off the Australian Prime Minister and how? Cramp!
Maggie Smith.
No.
Gordon Brown, for the reason we just said.
Well done.
Wait, Gordon Ramsay even.
Oh, yes, Gordon Ramsay. Yes.
Gordon Ramsay.
Sorry. Which recently famous pop star has just been released from hospital after suffering from exhaustion? Cramp.
Susan Boyle.
Well done. What countries border Spain?
Is it Portugal?
That's one of them.
And France.
Well done.
Shit, we're not meant to win.
Why is Piers Morgan a host on America's Got Talent?
Because he's a complete utter twat and no one else can have him, so he has to end up on some shit ITV2 show. Because he's a complete waste of space for cruel dirt little.
Have you been reading the script? That's the exact right answer. Thank you. Well done. Which Hollywood blockbuster was leaked online earlier this year? Mole.
X-Men Origins.
Well done.
Green.
Where can you catch episodes of Ooh, Have I Touched a Nerve?
YouTube.
More precisely? Yes.
Nerve TV.
Well done. Okay. Which comedy panel show host has recently quit his job after a year? Bill Bailey quit.
Bill Bailey.
Simon Amstel.
Simon Amstel.
Yeah.
Well done.
Jojo, did you just read a question and then tell us what the answer was before we'd had a chance to answer it?
No, I didn't. I just told them the answer. So
oh, I
Simon
see.
Simon Amstel. Anyway, well done, guys!
Here comes the competitive element.
And the scores at the end of that round are...
If we don't win, it's rigged.
The Cramp Twins have got 4,400.
Oh, shit.
And Not the Adventures of Mole Man have got 4,401.
What was the one extra point for?
Me being so handsome.
That's very true.
Yes, thank you.
And because Cramp Twins have lost, they now have to do their forfeit, which is...
It's me, the signing the Conservative Party contractual agreement. Here you go.
Here you go, Simon. I'm walking over with the contract now.
Thank you, Aaron, for the contract. Lovely hand.
Shall I do that properly now? Okay, I'll just bring the contract over. That sounded fake as well.
It's not Hollyoaks.
Someone failed drama.
Did you fail drama?
No, I got a B.
I got a C in drama. Do you know why? Because it was a long Shakespearean theme. I wouldn't do the scene as it was written. And it was purely on parts of taste. I said he wouldn't do that. Third Friar would not say that line like that. So I okay. Oh, I'm about to sign this contract. Ben, can I have your autograph?
Of course, Simon.
Okay, here we are.
Anything for you. Right.
Just there. There we are. Oh, look, Ben, you've signed the contract.
Oh, dear, Simon. How on earth did I get roped into that?
Gosh knows. That's all I'll say. Gosh knows.
This sadly brings us to the end of the show and to the end of this two-parter. All I have to do now is say thank you to our wonderful panellists for coming down and taking part, our fantastic studio audience, and to you at home for listening. And we'd also like to say a big thank you to Burst Radio for letting us gatecrash their airwaves. We'll be back in October for some brand new episodes of Ooh, Have I Touched a Nerve? So until then, good night, darlings!
Are you bothered with jumpitis, jivitis, gingivitis, or arthritis? Well, Jack, try the fastest-selling product on the market today. It's
Burst Live at burst.co.uk.
Thanks once again to Ooh, Have I Burst a Nerve team. It was written and produced by Scott Payne, with additional writing by Jojo Button, and the script was edited by Ben Nardoni. Scott Payne was also the creator of the game, and I think there was someone else. Who was it, Andrew?
I think it was you, Charlie.
I think you're right. I did come up with most of the game ideas. Well, I kind of looked on the internet
you
and
stole the ideas.
Well, sort of, but it's a compliment to steal people.
That's right. And now, as we're at the end of the week, oh, also, I was the show's engineer with Nuria Bernardo.
Well, thanks for name checking yourself and Nuria.
I did name check myself. That's right.
What's in our stars? We're at the end of the week.
Yes, we're as we're at the end of the week. You're quite right. It's time to look forward to next week. Looking forward to the next hour, being in 6 minutes, we have the Third Ear, where they're going to be catching up on Wimbledon, which is starting today, and we'll see how Sarah's technology detox went.
Do you like tennis?
I don't really have much of an opinion on it, really.
No, it reminds me of the summer. My mum likes tennis, so when I see it on, when you pause the TV screen, it gives me happy memories.
I'm very glad. So, if we want to look forward to next week, we now have horoscopes.
The Week in Links Weekly Horoscopes. Aries, now is a time for balance and re-evaluation. You should consider being more tolerant of lactose. The world has enough hate. Taurus, do people with no arms always drink with a straw? This will be a question worth pondering as a badger runs off with yours during the night. Wave goodbye to your arms. Oh wait,
you can't. Gemini, happy birthday. You'll be able to look forward to your presents, as your brother has brought you the bubonic plague and your gran sent you a letter bomb. Maybe you should stop with the racist jokes. Cancer, Venus will go into retrograde on the 17th, and it will be all your fault. Leo. Leos, I like your style, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There'll be a tornado this Thursday, but shh, keep it secret. Virgo, you move to a more expensive flat to better fulfil your masterful plan to save money by growing your own apples. Today, you'll realise your tragic mistake. Apples hate you. Libra, now would be a good time to get out of the entertainment business, as your all-mime radio station is destined for failure. Scorpio, the summer solstice may bring with it a deep sense of being ignored. Pagans like you often do feel neglected this time of year, so be sure to sacrifice a squirrel to your god. Sagittarius, be aware getting beaked by a duck. Capricorn, a chance for romance will arise on the 12th as the festival season picks up. I wouldn't bother, you're going to die alone either way. Aquarius, a raccoon will eat your cookie. Pisces, an apparition of your dead business partner will appear and warn you to change your ways. Don't listen to him, mass murder is rarely worth it. This has been the Week in Lynx Weekly Horoscopes.
Well, that was very exciting hearing my horoscope there. Apparently I'm going to be eaten by a raccoon.
No, a raccoon will eat your cookie.
I don't think there are many raccoons in England, and I don't think there's any on the way to Glastonbury.
I wonder who could have written it.
A Canadian.
Now, as we are talking about birthdays, it is our co-producer Lou's birthday today. So happy birthday, Lou. We were going to sing... Do you want to sing happy birthday?
No.
Okay. Well, I think we should.
Okay.
Just a bit.
A little bit.
Happy birthday to Lou.
That's it. Good.
Yep.
And
now we are finally at the end of the show. So Charlie, it's time for you to leave and cycle to Glastonbury.
But
how have you prepared yourself for this adventure?
Not much really. I have looked on the maps and I went to a website to check the route. I do cycle every day, so I am a little bit nervous that I might get saddle sore as I go.
You did have quite a fall the other day as well, didn't you?
Yes, I fell over onto my back, so I have a sore bruised back now.
I'm very sorry to hear that. What sort of route are you planning to take?
Well, I've looked on maps. I'm going up along the River Avon and then turning right onto the Wyvil River, and I'm just looking forward to it. So if you see me along the way, give me a toot or offer me a lift.
Are you regretting your decision, Charlie?
Well, I was, kind of, but I'm looking forward to the adventure, to see what I might have to do, to see who I might meet, to overcome problems that might come along the way. It's just an exciting little adventure.
Okay, enough stalling. I think it's time for you to go.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Do you like my shorts I'm in?
I can barely contain myself right now.
Cheerio, everyone.
Goodbye, Charlie. Good luck to Charlie. We see him as he's leaving.
Yeah, okay.
He has his helmet on. He has those cycling shorts. And now I'm all by myself. So I think it's time for me to say goodbye. A special thanks to Phil Jupitus for allowing me to laugh sycophantically at him, Joe Tyler, Martin Lane, Toby Shears, Ben Nardoni, and everyone who has helped make this show happen. Don't forget to stay tuned to the third year coming on right after us. That is less than a minute away. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
After three. Do, 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 do. It's me tapping the desk. We're all going to a summer festival. No more concrete for me and you. Fun and laughter at a summer festival. New bands playing, so much to do. For a better world. We're going where the music plays loudly. We're going where the grass is green. We've heard it on the grapevine. Now let's see it if it's true. Everybody has a festive pilgrimage. Being different is what we do. So we're pedaling to the summer festival to make our dreams come true. For me and you and the rest of the planet, and for your pocket, and for a sense of achievement, and for the fun of it, just because we can. Ah, I think I've crashed.